us. We hope you feel right at home and are blessed during our service. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you weren't blessed during that praise and worship, you need to get saved, and you're in the right place for that too. I'd love to lead you into relationship with Jesus at any rate. Ready to get in the Word of God this morning? Have you had a good week?
Yes.
Well, if you haven't, you're in the right place as well. We pray that you'll be lifted and blessed and strengthened this morning in Jesus' name. If you have not been with us, we've spent actually months on the topic of faith. And right now, we are dealing with the topic of faith works by love. And we're taking our time right there. Galatians 5:6 tells us just that faith works by love. Now, if you've been with us for the past however many months, you found out that God, when we received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, put our faith in Him. How do you do that? How many know this morning that there is no life without Jesus? How many are glad that you heard the gospel when you did? How many are glad? How many your lives are utterly changed, can testify of the miracles that have happened in your life because of what Jesus has done? Our own people know this, but I'm standing on a leg I shouldn't have. And I'm not being melodramatic or exaggerating at all. In fact, I really don't tell enough of the story. I was smashed into a cinder block wall, compound fracture, out through the middle of my leg, about midway up. Severed the main artery and the main vein as big as your thumb, completely in two. Code blue on the hospital 3 times. My wife happened to be on site. It was kind of a fluke the way it happened. She was there on site when it took place. And I can still remember trying to crawl away from blinding pain with my leg broke at the center of my femur and dangling off behind me. I didn't even know how bad I was hurt. Had an EMT dive on my back. He didn't know the damage had already been done. But I could hear my wife, Jackie, who's in children's church today, calling on the name of Jesus, praying in other tongues, jumping up and down and spinning, calling on the name of Jesus. To this day, they do not understand why. 4 points. Two of a severed artery, completely in two. In fact, they said it was shredded. And the main artery and the main vein, why they clotted and why I'm still alive. I should have been dead within, they said, in less than a minute. I'm so glad today for Jesus and the power of that name. Holmes Regional Medical Center saw it as nothing less than a miracle. The doctor who did the vascular surgery on my leg walked out in the first. He was one of the best surgeons. Isn't that funny how God arranges things? One of the best surgeons in all of the Southeast. I had the former Canadian orthopedic surgeon for the ski team of Canada on my case. Both of them walked out of there and said, "We don't understand what we just did. That was miraculous." That's the leg I'm talking about right there. I'll tell you a funny story. Spent a number of years cowboying, as we say here, punching cows. And I had a hitch in my knee that remained for about a year and a half or 2 years. And I was so excited about what God had done. It was the last thing on my mind. I was still working full time at the DS Ranch and was breaking colts. And I remember I had a particular, this is a funny story now. I had a particular colt that was absolutely whipping my tail. I could talk most of them out of bucking and had the right stuff. But this one here got my number. And I remember after getting bucked off about 6 times, I'm not proud of that, but I was mad. She was mad. It was a little mare, a little bay mare. And the last time, buddy, I come off the ground and I wanted to take her head off. And I reached up to grab rope off that saddle horn that I had tied, reached up, and with the way I went at it, she spun and kicked me in the knee so hard it spun me around and landed me on my face. And I laid on our couch for, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. My leg got swolled up, big and black. And when I came out of that, all the youth heard about that in our ministry at that time. We'd just started a church, House of Prayer International, and all the youth found out about that and come over and wanted to pray for Pastor Lee. So they all laid hands on my leg. At the end of that ordeal, when I healed up, something that I hadn't been able to do for 2 years was this. It was perfect. This knee is better than my left knee. So, you know, like a lot of the traditional say, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. I don't know, but I'll take it. But I'm so glad for the name of Jesus, a name that is above every name, that in each and every one that believes, Romans tells us that he gave each of us his faith deposited on the inside of us. You know, most of the Christian world is not aware of that. They're still asking for faith. They're still asking God to give them more faith. Listen, when you got born again, the kingdom of God came to live on the inside of you. And it's about getting into the Word of God and finding out what you already have on the inside, not you trying to get something you don't have. Philemon 1:6 says that our faith is made effective through the acknowledging of all the good that is in us, and that's key, in Christ Jesus. Do you know 2 Corinthians 5:17, I never get tired of preaching this verse, declares, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. Man, if you're here this morning and you haven't embraced Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, I invite you. There's no better time than today. There's nothing to be afraid of. How he loves you. He does not judge you. Your sin that you're worried about, he already paid for. He's just waiting for you to respond to his great love. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. I'm so glad it doesn't say for God so loved the church that he gave his only. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, are you a whosoever this morning? Let me ask it again. Are you breathing? Then you're a whosoever. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. How many in here can rejoice with eternal life that is already on the inside of you? And I pray that at the end of our service today, if you don't know him, man, don't walk life out anymore with a doubt. Religion has told you, you got to get your act together. That old country song, meet in the middle, neath that old Georgia pine. They think that about God. He's going to meet you in the middle. No. He paved the way, 150% the other direction. There's no, all you got to do is respond to great love. And he said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, how many know that can only happen through work of the Holy Spirit? It's not just mouthing words. I've seen people push through a salvation confession and they're just dead as they were before they did it. But there has to be heart belief. But with heart belief comes a spoken word that causes a miracle to take place on the inside of us. The beginning of miracles for our lives. That day that I was laying there and should be dead, it was the miracle of eternal life in my wife and others that had been interceding for us, we found out later, that stood, had a knowledge of something greater than what the average Christian understands. Most people, most believers, it's sad, believe that everything happens for a reason. We were talking about this on Wednesday night. That is not true, and that's a lie and a deception of the devil. There are some things that happen in life because we live in a broken world. There are some things that happen in life because we have an enemy who hates us. That's why James, by the Spirit of God, says in James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil. There are some things that you don't just let run over top of you because everything happens for a reason. There are some things you need to turn both six guns on and say, no more. I'm not taking depression on Monday morning anymore. You're not stealing any more of my kids. No more of my grandbabies. No more of my body. No more in my house. Get out of my wallet. I want to be a blessing. Amen. Oh, you're talking about that prosperity stuff. Well, who prospers you? Yourself or the hand of God? I'm so glad. Proverbs 10 tells us, absolutely tells us. Have I got the right scripture? Hang on, I got to get this right. Help me. I've preached this for weeks and I'm drawing a blank. Proverbs tells us that the blessing of the Lord, it'll come to you in a minute. Is it 10:21? The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. How many today can believe God with me to be a blessing? How many know to be a blessing, you got to have something to bless with? Praise the Lord. Huh? 10:22. There we go. Thank you. I wasn't too far off. And so, at any rate, today I pray that if you don't know Him, that you will let the Holy Spirit, who already I know is dealing with your heart, just let His love overwhelm you and just respond to who He is. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. Faith. We talked about Mark chapter 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25. In there we find out that Jesus said, not Lee, not Brother Hagin, or some other TV preacher, Jesus said that we could have the God kind of faith. Now, this was before He had died, was buried, and resurrected. As a result of His death, burial, and resurrection, those who believe receive, whether you realize it or not, that kind of faith is already on the inside of you. Romans says that He has dealt to every man the, can everybody say with me, the measure of faith. Jesus says that if you have a mountain in your life, here is what we can do if we choose to operate in that kind of faith. We can speak to a mountain. That is, that which represents the impossible, which wants to overshadow your life, which wants to impose its presence and its force. Anybody in here have a situation like that or have had a situation like that looming big? He says that you can stand and begin to speak. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe what you say, you will have, Jesus said, you will have what you say. Say it with me this morning, I can have what I say. Now understand, this is in line with the whole counsel of the Word of God. James, 1 John chapter 5, John says, this is the confidence that we have. This is the confidence that we have. That if we ask anything according to His will, number one, we know that He hears us. And number two, the reason I'm confident, John says, is because we know when we ask like that, that we have already that which we have desired of Him. Some of you need to close your eyes this morning in worship and see that grandson born again, tears running down his face, completely enwrapped in the love of God. Turn around, miracle. Some of you need to see yourself in a completely different setting, a place of joy and of peace and of strength. Some of you need to get a picture in your mind of what it's like to be free from every addiction. God no longer judges you for that addiction. He loves you. He already paid the full sin for that addiction. But the Holy Spirit in you is still leading and helping and wooing because He loves you, because you confessed Him as your Lord, because He declared you in Hebrews that He will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do. He's in there, but He's in there to help you. Because that thing can shorten your life. Not God, not judgment. That thing can shorten your life. And how many know Jesus made it clear? John chapter 10, verse 10. It is the thief. This has nothing to do with my message today, but somebody needs to hear the gospel one more time. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Many have been told all your life that God takes things. He took that baby because He needed another little angel in heaven. He did this, He did that. And they speak of God as if He were the devil. Jesus made it clear. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come. Come on, are you here today? He came for a purpose and a reason. I have come that you might have life. Everybody say life. Shout it out three times. This isn't any kind of life. This is God's life, the Zoe, God kind of life that makes all the difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He came to give us life, and life in abundance. More abundant. I'm very glad for life today. Hallelujah. Now here's the thing. God, through His Son Jesus, gave us the way. We were created in His image. He made us like Him. In the original state of mankind found in Adam and Eve, there was a oneness and a closeness and an ability. We see as we went, if we go back months, we see where we taught that Adam and Eve were given dominion and authority. God looked at them after they were created and He said, "This is very good. I see myself in them." He delegated to them power and dominion. How many know that sin broke that down? All right. But how many know God had a plan? God always has a plan. Tap your neighbor, say, "God always has a plan. If I'll just cooperate by faith, even the messes I've gotten myself in." I love Psalms 23. He leads beside still waters. That's where He leads. He makes me to lie down. That's where He takes us, in green pastures. I love that thought because the same place we feed is where we rest. Hello. But then He goes on down there. For some of us, they're just a little bit knuckleheaded. I don't know about you, but I'm still a little knuckleheaded. That's not my confession over myself, but there's just some areas where, come on, Leaford, you gotta wake up. He says, "Yea, though I walk." He was leading to a good place. But I said, "I got this, Lord. I got it figured out. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even in places of my own messes, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." He'll help you right back out of the mess of your own making if you'll trust Him. He said, "I'm so glad He didn't say to Peter," you know, Peter says, "Lord, can I do that too? Come." Peter got out there about halfway, and man, all of a sudden he became aware of, "What in God's name am I doing?" Paraphrase Lee Shaw. And he started to sink. And I'm so glad Jesus didn't say, "Look, sucker, you're on your own. I helped you that far, but you got to figure it out from here." He reached out and helped him back in that boat. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Praise the Lord. Faith to change things in your life. But here's the thing. We've heard a lot about faith over the years. But anything, and we've gotten into this trouble over and over and over again. Anything. You know, right now, the recent wave of grace, I'm so thankful for it. Everybody always, every time God does something, everybody wants to talk about all the abuses and talk about all the negative stuff. I don't know, just something about the human nature. We just always want to start trying to be the judge, the balancer, the one who says, "Well, you know, you got to be careful." And it just sounds so spiritual. We need to be more childlike. Stay in the Word of God. I'm so glad for the message of grace. It changed my life. But here's the problem. Anything we turn into a method. The gospel is about a living relationship with Jesus Christ. I know what Ryan, my associate pastor, met when he said, "How many are glad to be in church and how many are enjoying church?" But I'll tell you what, I know what he means. So don't go to Ryan and say, "Pastor really dissed you today. He like corrected." Wait, I'm not correcting that at all. But I hate church. A lot of my memories of church aren't real good. I'm glad for church. I mean, it was in there that I came to a knowledge of Jesus. But that's not even true, because I came to that knowledge through my parents in the home. But a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's now my big brother, my victor. Hallelujah. My helper, my friend. Now that's a big deal. He told me I could say some things and some major things would happen. But it happens within a relationship. A couple of weeks ago we talked about the power of agreement. Jesus was already gearing up towards us. He says, "If any two of you should agree," Matthew 18, agreement. We talk a lot in churches, and a lot of us preachers and teachers have a lot of methodology. Let me tell you something. If any message becomes a method or a list of concepts, it will build a bridge right back to sin, right back to defeat. We'll take something that was intended to set us free, the new covenant, and turn it right back into a form of bondage. Even grace, ironically, some have turned into a type of bondage. What in the world are we thinking? Man, you got to stay in Jesus. This is the way Jesus put it in John 15:7. He said, if you abide in me, I don't know about you, but I feel like the Apostle Paul. Think of who he was. Greatest missionary that ever lived. His words penned to the churches are now our epistles. The Holy Spirit speaking to us. Wrote over half of the New Testament. And yet in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, his heart's cry was still, I don't know that I even have started yet. I haven't even, he says, not that I have attained. He basically, what he was saying, this great grace, I can't seem to get the gray matter wrapped around it, but I've figured this out. It's wrapped around me. Oh man, that's pretty awesome. And his heart's cry was that I may know more about faith so I can get more stuff and have more things. Of course, it's to be a blessing, but that I may have more faith or that I may have more grace so I can do whatever I want and know that everything is good. That I may have more. Here's what kept him centered. That I may know him. Would you lift your hands with me this morning and worship one more time? Whew. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Listen, it's on the inside of you. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he makes alive your very mortal body, especially on that day when there's the blast of a trumpet and that which is mortal takes on immortality. That which is imperfect is perfected in the twinkling of an eye and we'll be caught up together. Woo! To meet him in the air. Following, of course, those who are dead in Christ. There's no death there. Aren't you glad today? For Jesus. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm having fun. Praise the Lord. He loves you. I don't know who you are today or where you're at, but I don't blame you if you're fed up and sick to death of religion. How he loves you. He'll take you just like you are. He'll help you. You got some hang-ups? Join the group. I get a kick out of people in the world. Man, I don't go to that church because, man, there's just a bunch of hypocrites there. What they're trying to say is there's a bunch of people there with problems, and I don't have any problems, and I'm not going to go to a place with a bunch of people with problems. Of course there's people here with problems. Man, some of us hit the wall because of our problems, and we found Jesus, and now we're in a process of becoming new. And I don't know about you, but there's nobody perfect for him. Hallelujah. But this promise I have, regardless of what I look like out here and where I'm growing out here, the inside of me was made brand new. And everything that was put in there, according to 2 Corinthians 5:18, which follows 17, says that all that was put in me is of God. That's why Romans 12 says, I beg of you there because of this great mercy, this great love, that you present your body, a living sacrifice. You present your body, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't allow yourself anymore to be shaped by the spirit of the world, the spirit of this age, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can know the word of God in its fullness. That's what that next part of that verse means. The good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's three adjectives showing us one thing, the will of God for for you and I. How many embrace His will this morning? How many are glad for Jesus? How many have been talking to your mountains? Come on, help me out, people. How many have been talking to your mountains? How many are seeing some breakthroughs? Whether you see it or not as a material, you know that. That's where Jesus started. He cursed a fig tree and nothing happened. Till the return trip, Peter said, "Oh, Lord, look, you're not crazy." So you keep on talking, but how many are seeing some breakthrough? Great faith makes all the difference. So faith works by love. Now, if you were here with us last week, I want to take the time that I have left. Are you blessed? Isn't it great to be in the presence of God and under the Word of God? Now, our own people know, especially when I misquote a scripture and I get reminded afterwards, our own people know you don't believe anything Bubba says because Bubba said it. You better check me out with the Word of God. Even if it seems to check out with the Word of God, but it troubles you, you're under no obligation for me or any. I am not your Savior. I am not your covering. That's a mistranslation out of Hebrews. Jesus is your covering. I'm called as a pastor gift to teach and to, by the foolishness of preaching, help you stimulate growth in your life. But I'm not your Lord. He is your Lord. Could I have a stronger amen? I am not your Lord. He is your Lord. And you better get for yourself. The biggest job that we can do is learn to feed ourselves. If you're living on one message a week or two or three, you're in trouble. Now, our people have heard this many times. But listen, it's great to come to church and hear a good message and be blessed. But if you're not careful, it'll do you about as much good as listening to somebody else take a shower. You got to get in the shower for yourself. Let the Holy Ghost work in your heart and in your life. Amen. Isn't that great? The love of God. Faith works by love. Last week we started here, and I'll skip through just a quick recap, and then we'll continue where we left off. If you look in Galatians 5:22, and I'm not going to read the whole scripture, most of us are familiar with it, but it starts out saying, "But the fruit of the Spirit." The fruit of the Spirit is, and it starts with, love. Everybody say love. Love. When the New Testament was being written, there were four primary Greek words to describe the concept of love. Number one, eros. Two, sturgio. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not. I could care less. S-T-E-R-G-O. Phileo was three. And four was agape. Or agape. These four words conveyed four very different types of love. So last week we began a journey on looking what that is. Now the reason, before I go any further, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse 16. We're going to read down just a little ways. We'll look at this in more detail later. I want to talk about fear. You know that all fear is rooted. I was listening to Brother Kenneth Copeland. Such a powerful series on this very thing. I would encourage you to look it up. You're going to hear a lot of stuff in there that you'll recognize in here, because I mean, bald-faced theft. If he says it's the Word of God, then it's mine too. Tremendous stuff. He reminded me of things I taught years ago. And I'm not saying, oh, I knew it first. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying these are things that I taught, but I didn't understand. Now grace has pulled everything into perspective. And now, oh my Lord, a whole new world. Okay, behave. Okay, so 16. And we have known, here it is, verse 16. And we have known, and listen, I raised two daughters. Okay, as well as two sons. Okay. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. You know that most of the church world reads right over that and it's boom. Because most of the church world has not. See, John is the one talking here. Now, you've heard me say this many times, but just a little reminder. John referred to himself. He was different from the rest in this. John referred to himself as John the Apostle, whom Jesus loved. Now, we all know better, as did John by his own writings. John did not think that Jesus loved him more. John was simply stating, I believe it. And because he believed it, some interesting facts about John. John knew who betrayed. He was the only one who knew who betrayed Jesus. Study in Scripture. He knew. The only one. John is the only one who did not flee in fear and in terror the day of Jesus' resurrection. In fact, Jesus says, John, would you take care of my mama? Right there. John is the only one, think about this, the only one of the apostles that was not martyred. History tells us, as close as we can tell, that they tried to kill him and couldn't. They tried to boil him in oil. We don't know what happened, but there was some kind of supernatural deliverance that happened. And he lived out his life to receive the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos, which, contrary to a lot of popular thinking, was a pretty nice place. If you study history, this idea that he was in a big, deep, dark dungeon, as far as we can tell in history, and I got to be careful here because it's not completely clear, but everything that we know about the Isle of Patmos, it was a place of exile. It was a place of separation, but it was also a pretty posh place. Now, I'm not saying that he was living in a very posh place. What I'm saying, it's not this idea that we have that he was in deep, dark dungeons and suffered the rest of his life. History tells us that he lived there and with relative freedom. He was exiled, and there he received this great book, the final one in our canon, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And boy, I can't wait till we take the time to look at this. There's a lot of thinking about Revelation that is as goofy and messed up as can possibly be. This should not be a book of doom and gloom and the end of everything and us throwing our hands up or sitting on our hands, even so come quickly. This is a victorious revelation of Jesus Christ, not a book of doom and gloom. If you understand context, it should thrill you, not scare you. That's for another time. So here, this is John. Now think about that. The love of God. He got a revelation of God's love for him. See, most of the preaching in the church is about you getting your act together and loving God. And I used to love to just, when I was feeling like I just, you know, like people were misbehaving and I needed to whip the church in line. Boy, the one thing that I could always, the little derringer that I could pull out of my vest pocket and just really let you have it, get you back in line, get you under my rule as a pastor, was tell you the reason you're in trouble is you don't love God enough. If you love God more, you need to get the sin out of your life. If you get the sin, what in the world? If you could do that, what do you need a Savior for? And then if you would love God, don't you know, the commandment is, thou shalt love. But that commandment was replaced by another. In the tender moments before he left to return to glory, he changed everything when he said, no longer do I say, love your neighbor as yourself. Here's the new law. Love one another as I have loved you. John got a revelation of God's love for him, and it caused him to step into a whole new supernatural realm of protection, of divine inspiration. What a man. So when John says in verse 16 of 1 John chapter 4, and we have known, he had a revelation of the love of God. Most people in the church are getting a revelation of how, can I say this in church, sucky you are? And how desperately in need you are of help. And the anointed dude in the front with the slick black hair will straighten you out. Because he's got a word from God. Let me tell you something. You got a word from God in here. This word, if received and believed on, sets men and women free. He says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. And then he says, let's say it together, God is love. And he that dwelleth, so this isn't just a knowledge, this isn't a formula, this isn't just a concept. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. How many in here would admit with me? Come on, raise your hand, your foot. That I got some growth that needs to happen in the area of love. I've justified my angst. I've justified some frustration. I've become comfortable living within the confines of my little filter prison that I can't even hear. Husbands, have you ever told your wife, honey, you look good in that dress, and she came back with you saying, well, what about the rest then? Wow, that didn't go over real well. I need to come up with something else. Help me out. Guys are worse than women. Well, you're pretty good at that, aren't you? We can hear everything in reverse. Oh, you don't think men are feely-touchy? They're the worst. How about it, Pat? You get around a group of cowpunchers, there's more drama than a knitting party. I'm serious. Bunch of gossipy little girls, all of us. I'm delivered. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth. I don't know where I was going with that, but I'm just going to move forward. We hear things backwards through these filters. But the love of God, it's not about you learning to love God back. Are you learning? You got to love others. Well, that'll be something that will be a response in you if you get a revelation of the love of God for you. That's why Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. So this is not, as we've said multiple times already, this is not, I love my dog, I love my cat, I love ice cream, I love my wife, I love God, all the same word. If you take and look at what this means in Scripture, this God kind of love is a completely different thing. And if we'll learn about that, we'll find out how great His love is for us. And as you meditate and embrace like a child by faith, it will change the way you think and it will cause your confidence. John is the one who said, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will. Do you know what His will is today? Or is there always a yes but, brother? You have to understand. Do you know what His will is in reference to your body? Do you know what His will is in reference to your future? Do you know what His will is in reference to your business? Do you know what His will is? Don't talk to me about, you hear all this goofy stuff out there, but get into your word and find out what God does when we turn things over to Him and trust Him. And let our mind be renewed. It wasn't just a tease when He says, my God shall supply. all our needs. And that's just the beginning. He doesn't want us to live on the need realm. He promises over and over and over again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, he became poor. And the whole context of both of those chapters is money. He became poor to make us rich. That's your Bible. That's your own Bible's context. He said, made us poor. He became poor to make us rich. He's not talking about rich and abuse of money. He's talking about you being so blessed that you're able to be a blessing to others. And he goes on and talks about that exactly. Say, I'm a blessing. Come on, I'm a blessing. We hear it all the time, I'm blessed. No, I'm a blessing. That's not arrogance. That's the humility of a child saying, it's a foregone conclusion. I know who I am in him and who he is in me. And I've got something to give and I'm going to get the wheels turning. I remember my wife and I in Bible school, just newly married. We didn't have enough money to pay the rent anyway. We didn't know what we were going to do. And a missionary come through. We had 80 bucks left. Well, 80 bucks isn't going to pay the rent. So we gave the 80 bucks to the missionary. I had a kid the next day. Listen, I had a kid the next day that I barely knew show up on my doorstep. Now, it doesn't happen this way every time. I'm not teasing you with a story to get you to go out there and be crazy. But some of you need to get a little crazier, a little more wild-eyed. This stuff works. I had a kid the next day, I'll never forget him, Todd. I don't remember his last name. All I know is that he had a 69 Pontiac that was cool with posi track in the back end and a 3 whatever it was in the front. And it was awesome. Todd showed up on my doorstep shaking and handed me an envelope with what we needed for our rent. And he had no clue of what was going on. Given, it shall be given. Pressed down. Shaken together. Now, that's speaking of mercy in context, but it's still the way God works. Press down, shaken together, and running over will men give back to your bosom. That's a promise that still stands. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, or made mature or complete. Listen to what he says. That we may have herein. How? He says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day. Not just unafraid, bold. Squared, eyes wide open, like a child. Herein. How? We just read it. If we embrace by faith, and we have known and believe. Verse 16. This is the herein. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Have you known? Do we know? That's where we're taking the time. Do you know what it means? The love of God is so, I mean, we hear it on TV, we hear it on radio, we talk about it to one another, but do we really understand the love of God? There might be one or two of you in here that are just barely sitting there. And the whole idea that you're in a church with all these perfect people, trust me, they're not. You'd be shocked at some of the testimonies in here and some that are still in transition. And I'm not embarrassed of that. I'm excited about it. I'm fed up with religion. You're sitting there just barely. I mean, you just might, I mean, he gets a little wilder. I'm out of here. Because your idea of church is all about how undone you are and how perfect they think they are. Man, it's not about that at all. Every one of us in here are in need of grace. You know what grace is? It means on some level or another, and probably on many, many, many levels, I don't deserve any of this. That's why when I get great accolades, which I love him and appreciate Richie for doing that. But I know me. I'm very unimpressed. At 54, I know me. If not for him, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus? But in him, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm highly favored and blessed. Hallelujah. Brand new. With a future so bright, I gotta wear shades. All right. Dated myself, didn't I, Herb? Okay. Settle down. Okay. So the herein is in the... What, Cindy? You remember that video, don't you? Okay, here we go. Herein. What herein? And we've known and believed. John is saying that if we know and believe the love of God, something supernatural happens on the inside of us. It's a foregone conclusion. It's an automatic that faith rises greater than your mountain. Faith finds her voice. Did you know that your voice is your address in the spirit? Coyotes can hear a squealing rabbit from a long ways away, and they go running to the victim. Are we a victim in the dark? Are we conquerors declaring what the world calls impossible, but is our yes and amen in Him? What's your address in the Spirit? I don't know about yours, but mine is. My salvation is complete. Healing is mine. Deliverance is a done deal. He's called me to minister the same. I'm going to say it. In pain or out of pain, doesn't matter. I'm moving forward. I'm declaring the works of God. I'm rehearsing and renewing my mind with the promises of God that in Him are yes. Come on, are you here today? Come on, yes, 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 and amen. Anyway, that's another subject I got to get back on. We'll never get out of here. All right. Herein is our love made perfect. How? That we've known and believed the love of God. The love that God hath. I love that right there in the King James. Hath to or toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein in this is our love caused to come to full strength, complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. This next little phrase tacked on the back of this verse is so overused in a trite way. Well, brother, you know, as he is, so are we in this world. Well, you know, stop. Let get a fresh today revelation of what he just said. Just the way that God loves his son, he now, because of the son, loves you. As he is, so are we in this world. He acknowledged we're in this world. I believe that's why Jesus put such emphasis on washing the disciples of the feet. He told Peter, man, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part of me. What was going on there? We've turned that into a ritual that is just freaks people out. There's a beautiful way to do it, and it can be done by the Spirit. But it's why you're not going to probably ever see a foot washing service in our church. But I've got people that have done that, led of the Lord, and the person who was a recipient, their life was completely changed. Amen. Never quit. Okay? It's not a mandate like communion. I don't need to get into all that kind of stuff. But here's the deal. Foot washing was important. What was going on there? Jesus was getting ready to deliver the goods. He had 12 that were following him. The picture he was drawing is, I'm speaking stuff into you. This was even before he died, was buried, and resurrected. He told them, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. He's telling them some things. But this foot washing thing was an acknowledgement. Look, I know you walk on planet Earth. I know that your feet touch the reality. And there's going to be some dirt and stuff that's going to collect on your ankles and your heels and between your toes. And it's the sign of... So listen, get together and worship me. Let the washing of the water of the Word wash your feet. I don't know what it is about coming together like this, but it's I love my time alone with the Lord, but this is somehow different. In this, my feet are washed. I come out of a worship service, come out of being under the Word. You think I'm not receiving? Proverbs 11 says that as I'm watering, I'm getting water all over me. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I'll bet you, I get more spankings from the word than you do, because I go home and go, Lord, did I say that? Lord, am I doing that? I don't know where that came from. That was revelation, but I'm not there. I said it, but I better tighten up. And then I got to fall back on the grace. Wait a minute. Where did I go back to that stuff for? It's not performance. I got to just trust you. Got to put faith in you. Time to get happy again. Oh, I hope I didn't hurt somebody. Lord, did I say enough? Did I compromise it? You got to just trust God and flow. You love Jesus today? Where was I at? Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear. Brother Copeland said something that shocked me. He said, you know, all fear comes, you study the scripture, all fear comes from the fear of death. Wasn't that something? And he said, that started with Cain and Abel. Man's fallen state, the first murder, fear of death, and fear of man started right there. And every fear in life is tied, every form of unbelief, for unforgiveness. It's all wrapped. That's why when Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 was talking about faith that moves mountains, he says, and if you have aught, when you're praying, if you have aught against any, forgive them so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. I'm so glad that changed when Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. Because now it is like this. Forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, post death, burial, and resurrection, has forgiven you. I'm so glad there's no longer got to forgive to be forgiven. Whew, we'd be in trouble. But now, we still have to realize the power of this forgiveness thing, because all unforgiveness is based in fear. All fear has its bait and root in the fear of death. And I'm so glad that Jesus, my victor, took away the fear of death, the sting of death, caused me, His perfect love for me, His love shed abroad in my heart, the fruit of the Spirit that is resident on the inside of me. If I will exercise it, if I will speak it forth, if I'll release it as a born-again person, that love, perfect love, cast out all fear. Now, this is a topic I necessarily want to get into this morning, but I want to just see the importance of the love of God and why we better find out what His love is like and why it's different than other expressions of love. Are you following me? There is no fear. Look at that. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. I think it's interesting that that comes right on the heels of, as He is, so are we in this world. Turn to your neighbor. Come on. Some of you need to wake up. Get out of the Sunday morning. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, as He is, honey, as He is, my friend, so am I in this world. I'm taking it by faith. That's hard to see right now, but He's promised it, and I'm taking it by faith. Now, the next phrase is this. Perfect love. I'm so glad it's not my perfect love towards Him, but it's His perfect love for me, now resident by faith on the inside, which casts out all fear. Most people live in tremendous fear and bondage. Most believers do. How many are ready to get set free? I've seen people that could not get their healing, and they thought God was withholding their healing. When they got over that and got back into loving Him back, and the absolute, that whole reciprocal relationship, it's relationship, not methodology, suddenly in the process, what they'd strained so hard for kicked into gear when they let people go, turn people loose, begin to love the unloved, begin to affirm and bless and be a blessing instead of just being another petty, reactionary, so-called spirit-filled believer. That's good preaching. Shout me down. We're going to look at the love of God. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out all fear. You ready to be delivered from fear? Man, let's hang in there and let God do what he wants to do. Because fear hath torment. We're going to take time and dwell there for a while the next few weeks. But before we go, I want to just take us two bumps forward in the four different kinds of love. We're going to just barely get into agape and then we'll quit. Honest Abe. You ready? I'm really glad you came to church this morning. Praise the Lord. Isn't it great? So the first word, I'm going to just read through this and try not to expound so we can get there in a hurry. You ready? Ready for some speed reading? This is some of you already heard this last week to catch others up. Here we go. The first word for love in the list given above that we just gave you, eros, sturgio, phileo, and agape, is the word eros. Last week we learned it's a Greek term for sexual love where we get the word erotic. In Greek culture, this word refers to sensual carnal impulses to satisfy or gratify the sexual desires of the flesh. It shares a common root with the word erio, which means to ask, to beg, or to demand. This confirms that eros is not a giving type of love, rather it denotes a sexual demand. It's not a love that seeks to give or to please someone else, but a carnal love that seeks fulfillment of its own desires. It's really interesting that this word never appears once in the New Testament, not even in the context of sex in marriage. Even in Greek culture, the word eros represented a carnal, even in the Greek culture, a carnal, raw, base, low-level, craving, yearning, ache, or appetite for sexual fulfillment. This type of love, in quotations, is so flesh-based and so far removed from the level of love that God expects of believers that it is never included in New Testament language. Wow. Okay? I'm not going to cover any more there. We covered that in more detail last week, but that gives you an idea of what eros is. Okay? The second word for love is the word sturgio. The word sturgio primarily pictures the love that exists between parents and children, or the love that exists between members of a family. One scholar has noted that on occasion the word sturgio portrayed the love of a nation for its ruler, or even the love of a dog for its master. Consequently, the real idea of the word sturgio is that of devotion. Everybody say devotion. Although the word sturgio does appear in the New Testament, it is very rarely used. We find it used in a negative sense in 2 Timothy, you remember this from last week, 3:3, where the King James Version translates it without natural affection. This suggests a time that will develop in the last days when strong family ties and devotion to one's family will deteriorate. By using this word in a negative sense, the Apostle Paul warns that one of the principal signs of the last times will be the deterioration of the family and traditional family values. Can you say amen? Okay. The third word for love is the Greek word phileo, which describes affection, such as the affection felt between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, or the affability shared between two friends. It carries the idea of two or more people who feel compatible, well-matched, well-suited, and complementary to each other. Although this word describes the attributes of friendship, it is not representative of the highest form of love, which is agape. Other words derived from the word phileo are numerous. We had started into this list last week. I'm not going to go through that exist list. It's an exhaustive list of a number of different words in English, different words that that come from this original word of love for phileo. The one that I might mention is one that you would be familiar with, especially from the book of Revelation, Philadelphia, a compound of phileo or adelphos, the Greek word for brother. When these two words are compounded together, it means brotherly love. I find it interesting when Jesus was dealing with Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, I love you, Lord. And he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And he said, I love you, Lord. It's interesting to me that in the Greek, he says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter comes back with, I phileo you. Do you agape me? Now, that's probably a language thing. I get that. I'm not trying to read more into it. But it's still interesting that we have it that way in our scriptures. Do you agape me? And he didn't say, yes, Lord, I agape you. He said, I phileo you. I return. Do you love me? Peter wasn't getting it like John. That's why he cursed amid cursings, denied the Lord three times. Cursed and swore. I don't know him. I'm not a part of that bunch. You with me? Jesus said of Peter, he said, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. How he loved Peter. He loved Peter just as much as John. Who was the preacher of Pentecost? John? It was hairy-legged, foul-mouthed. Not anymore. But that's who it was. A guy filled with the Holy Ghost, man. A cowboy. Or whatever it is you want to put in there. Okay. Come back. Okay. The fourth word for love is the word used in the New Testament to depict the love of God. This is the Greek word, agape. It is this word that Paul uses in Galatians 5:22 when he writes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. I believe with all of my heart there is no finer or more excellent love than, obviously, than agape love. In fact, the word agape is so filled with deep emotions and meaning that it is one of the most difficult words to translate in the New Testament. Trying to explain this word has baffled translators for centuries. Agape occurs when an individual sees. Now listen, I want to slow down. I know we're right here towards the end. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and ask our worship team to come forward. I want to sing that song with the I surrender part in it all over again. How many are ready to surrender to the love of God? See, we always think in terms of sin. It's because we're sin conscious. This I surrender thing is not, I surrender all my yuck. Well, that's a foregone conclusion if you're just surrendering to His love. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Are you here today? I love that song. Can we do that? All right. As they're getting ready, let me just bump this much more forward. Agape occurs when an individual sees. Now listen, if Jesus said that faith that moves mountains works by love. Listen, let the Lord grab right now, man. Some of you need to grab yourself by the bootstraps and pull up and kick yourself. Wake up. Don't lose this. Are you here? Now, we will recap. You know me. I don't mind repeating over and over and over again. All right? But I need you to hear. Agape occurs when an individual, Jesus said, love one another. Everything's changed. Love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved you? Here's what agape love behaves like. Now, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, not today, relax. But here's what it is. Agape occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, or appreciates the value of an object or a person, causing the viewer to behold this object or person in great esteem, awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. Peter spoke to wives who were struggling with husbands who did not want to embrace the truth. He said, if you'll let this kind of love flow through you when they don't deserve it, let this be your, what's the word, vesture, your clothing. Let this be your identity. Your husband will come into Jesus without preaching, but through the agape love of God that flows through who you are. We live in a day and an age where it's all about demanding our rights. Listen, if you can't sit, I don't have time to go there. I got to stop. Let me finish this. Such great respect is awakened in the heart of the observer for the object or person he is beholding that he is compelled to love it. In fact, his love for that person or object is so strong that it is irresistible. Louis Giglio does a tremendous job on irresistible. Boy, I love that guy. At any rate, in the New Testament, perhaps the best example of agape is found in John 3:16. Can you say holla? Woo, the that's good. He says this. Now, this should sound completely different. For God so loved the world, not the planet, but you and me, and the worst, deceitful, rotten, hateful. My mind struggles with him loving the dude in Korea. My heart wants to do other things. But my Bible says that he stands in awe. What? I'm a murderer. I'm so glad for grace. I better get myself lined back up. Love as I have loved you. Love that causes faith to move mountains. My goodness, what in the world? This means that God looked upon the human race. He stood in awe of mankind. Even though man was lost in sin, God admired man. He wondered at man. The church has taught us, man, I messed up and I'm going to make them jokers pay. For God so loved the world, he gave. Let me finish with this. He held mankind in the highest appreciation. Even though mankind was held captive by Satan, at that moment God looked upon the world and saw his own image in man. The human race was so precious to God, he loved man so deeply that his heart was stirred to reach out and do something to save him. In other words, God's love, and boy are we going to get into this, drove him to action. Not the other way around. God's love drove him to action. How many would stand with me this morning and extend your hands one more time heavenward? Man, let's just revel in the love of God. Would you say with me today, Lord, teach me. Teach me more of your great love. I want to be, come on, say it with me, I want to be like John the Apostle. I want to be able to say, I've known this love. And I believe this love. What I know right now, I embrace and believe. But oh man, you spoke by your Spirit through the Apostle Paul, a four-dimensional love that I haven't even tapped into yet. The length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of God, so we can be filled with all the fullness. How many want to be filled with all the fullness of God? That's a promise given to us in Scripture. Father God, I thank you today as we close out here that your anointing is strong, stirring, revealing in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit, a new revelation. Come on, cry out with me. A new revelation. Come on, all over this room. A new revelation of your love for me. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, because of Jesus, you're not even a little bit miffed. You love us. Thank you for a revelation of that great love today. I want you to know, I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, how far you've gone, his love has gone farther. He loves you today. He's got a plan and a work for your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed in these few minutes. Please, nobody looking around, out of respect for those who may respond. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I would love to lead you into relationship with him. Would you slip up your hand high where I can see you and say, Pastor Lee, that's me. I want to know Jesus. I want to come into relationship with him. I want to know him as my personal Lord and Savior. Could you slip up your hand good and high where I can see you and slip it back down? I want you to know something. And I don't care who criticized me for this. I could care less. I got over that a long time ago. I will not call you out. I will not walk you up front. I will not embarrass you. I do want to pray with you at the end of the service. I want to know you and lead you into that relationship. But I will not do that. That's a promise. So you don't need to worry about that. But what is important this morning is that everything we've talked about happens through one simple step of faith. Jesus, I believe that you are who you said you are. I believe that you died for me, that you were raised from the dead. I embrace you as my Lord and Savior. I receive full forgiveness of all sin, past, present, and future, and I want to step into life with you. If that's you today, slip your hand up high where I can see you. Slip your hand up high and hold it up. There's anybody in here like that at all? Looking around. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Anybody else? Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Anybody else? Come on. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up. Hold it up there long enough until I can see you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing today. In Jesus' name. I'd like for these that raised their hand this morning, out loud with the rest of the congregation, a heart filled with belief, a heart filled with love responding to this great salvation. Would you this morning join us in a prayer? And listen, it's as easy as this. Paul said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you will be saved. It's just that, Pastor, that simple. Hey, that's the word. That's the word. So people of God all over this room, would you lift your eyes, lift your voices? Let's pray this prayer together with these that have raised their hands. Say out loud with me, Jesus, I believe with all of my heart that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that you died for me at the price of your precious blood. Every sin was washed away. Every judgment rendered futile by faith in your work. I receive you. I love you back. I receive you as my Lord and my personal Savior. I believe that you died for me and that you were raised from the dead on the third day. I invite you into my heart and my life. Be right now. I take you at your word. Be right now my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me even now. In your precious name, the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Thank you for saving me and making me new. Amen. And amen. Now, as you prayed that prayer with these others, do you know that the Bible says angels in heaven are having a big old party, a rejoicing? So come on, how many would join us in here today? Woo! We give you thanks. Father, I thank you. Now listen, would you just bow your head for a moment and agree with me? Father, I thank you that these that prayed, they will never be the same. I thank you for a supercharge of the love of God, the love of God, a hunger and a response like never before. I thank you for ministries right now in their hearts that are coming into play. I thank you that having said all their lives, I'll never amount to anything, and others speaking that over them. I thank you that today there's new beginnings. I can do great things for God. I count. I have a purpose. I have a calling. I have a future. God has a plan. Father, never the same in Jesus' name. Let us rock our world in this Quad City area as we embrace the love of God that moves mountains by faith. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a blessed week in Jesus. Share Jesus with somebody. Bring somebody with you to church. It's just going to get better. Are you here? But you know what? Don't just bring them. You share the love of God so that when they look at me and go, oh my God, I'm out of here, they'll say, well, wait a minute. If my friend's here, maybe I can hang in there till the revelation comes. Are you here? I'm not being funny. That's really serious. It is the foolishness of preachers, but sometimes it's hard for some people to get past that. You can help them. Be their friend. Take them out to eat. Let's watch people's lives be changed in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Be dismissed. Oh, wait a minute. Just a moment. I'm sorry, baby girl.
I knew he didn't hear
this
me.
This is my other baby girl. Go ahead.
Hey, I'll be short and sweet. When he was talking about agape love, I'm currently writing a book, and it's my journey from my mid-20s till now. It's a time that a lot of people walk away from their faith, my generation. But anyways, when he said agape, I was in Australia, and I used to walk home from work all the time. And on those times, I began to just talk to God about anything and everything, literally. And it was a time where I felt his presence very strongly all the time on those walks. My book's called He Walks With Me. But something that agape is one day when I was walking home and I felt in my spirit, he said, you're the apple of my eye. And it's not that I never was, but if you don't know that you are, you won't experience what's not a revelation to you. Because God's a gentleman. And anybody who forces his way in you will feel what? Defensive and put your guard up. But once you know something for you, you allow that to take place in your life. It's the way we're built. It's the way he built us to experience something to... That's what makes being human beautiful, is that you experience it. It's not something that's forced upon you. And on those walks with God, I begin to trust him in a different way. So, if I'm the apple of his eye, so are you. That's agape eye. That's agape love. Sorry. Because when you're the apple of someone's eye, you're zeroed in. It's an old term. So my generation's kind of funny because you have to explain it. But it's, you know, it's an old term that you're so zeroed in. It's all you see. You're so present. You're so aware. And that's how God feels about you. And what's crazy about
Ooh,
that is
when, good stuff.
When you realize that. This is in my book, by the way. When you realize that, people in general have become the apple of my eye. And so it's like bifold. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbors yourself. He loves you and you begin to love your neighbor. And it's actually a cruel, pretty cool cycle.
That's good preaching. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Yes, ma'am.
I grew up.
I want to make a note. I didn't keep you here. It's the ladies. Please go. Please go. Be obedient.
All my life, I knew God loved me because I knew the scripture that God so loved the world, and I was part of the world, so therefore he loved me. And then one night, actually not too many years ago, before I went to bed, I just said, I love you, Lord. And he said, I love you. And he called me by the nickname that only my earthly daddy ever called me. And that night I knew he didn't love me as part of the world. He loved me.
Yes. Oh, man. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Don't let our dismissal here be the end of anything for you today. Bathe in his presence through the rest of this day, through tomorrow at work. Meditate on his great love for you. And get out of here quick before I start preaching again.